Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Damn, things happen on this show that are really unsettling, and I'd heard this was happening in this area. And this poor woman literally just sent me a message within the last literally 4 minutes, and I had to get her on the air. And I got to get to the bottom of this because this is ridiculous and unfair, and we've got to help her. Man, this is so troublesome. Hi, Jamie. How are you? Let me grab Jamie here. Jamie, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Well, yeah, you're okay because you're going through hell right now. Tell our listeners what's happening. This is ridiculous. We got to take care of this.
The whole story?
Yeah.
I receive food stamp benefits for me and my children.
Yep.
I received them on the 7th of the month. I just got out of the hospital from having a second brain surgery. When I was released from the hospital, went to the store to get food, and all my food stamps are gone.
Awful.
I went to the office this morning,
Jamie, what office? Tell people.
The McKeesport office.
Of what? What department, ma'am?
Welfare. The welfare office.
State Department, right?
Yes.
Yep.
County Assistance Office. There were at least 10 other people there for the same thing.
Wow.
And when you go up and talk to them, the lady is very remorseful and feels sorry, but says there's nothing they can do except issue you a new card. You can file a police report, but they're not really doing anything about it. And she wished that somebody would reach out to these news stations to get awareness out.
Here we
so
are.
So that's what I did.
So Jamie, what actually transpired that they ripped you and others off?
I guess it's electronic skimmer that they're putting in. And when I called to see why I didn't have any food stamps, it said that it was like increments of $50 here and there. And when she looked on the computer, it was within seconds, and it's coming from Philadelphia and New York. It's different states and cities that it's coming from. But the skimmers are, it's in the store down the street from me.
What store?
Dollar General.
Wow. So, historically, someone puts a device on the machine that's reading the card, which
yes.
would have been right there at the checkout? Yeah.
Yes.
Right? And then the skimmer, Patrick, from what we both know, is they steal the data, right?
Exactly. They steal the card information, and then they duplicate it, whether they put it on another card or however they do it. They can put it on the magnetic stripes and go swipe it, and they capture your PIN and everything.
And how the hell is it Jamie's fault? Like, why can't someone give Jamie another $800? You know what I'm saying, Jamie?
Right.
Right?
Yeah, especially after you file your police report and everything.
Wow. And so you have no money for food?
No.
Jesus. And this just happened, Jamie?
It happened on Friday, so of course I had to wait until Monday to talk to anybody. So, yes.
So this is the County Department of Welfare in McKeesport?
Yeah. But it's a government thing. They won't reissue any stolen food stamps. It's been going on.
Oh, yeah, we'd heard this. But you're saying in the office that you're sitting in now, there were at least 10 people, same thing?
Yes.
Wow. And poor thing,
that
you've
was
been
this
through,
morning.
And poor thing, you've been through brain surgery.
Yes.
You just got out of the hospital.
I did.
My God. How are you feeling?
Terrible.
Aw. We have I'm going to talk to Patrick in the break here. We're going to have to find out where you're at, and I'm going to have to get you some cash, and then we're going to have to resolve this issue as soon as we can.
That's not what I want. I just want other people to be aware of it, and for the government to be aware of it and help the people that are being taken advantage
Hell
of.
Hell yeah. Like immediately
help. If I could go out and do something for somebody else, I would do it. But I can't even help myself right now.
Oh, God bless you.
And it's not fair to my kids.
It is not fair to your kids. You are 100% right on, and I'm so glad you called me. I'm going to get all over this, okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you, my dear. So, she goes to the Dollar General. What happens, and maybe not exactly this way, but someone sneaks into these stores, and Patrick, they place these little devices on the where you're at the checkout. They'll do it at an ATM, wherever.
Exactly. You see it on gas station pumps.
Yep.
You see it on ATMs. And more commonly, you see it on grocery store terminals, like the ones at the Dollar General here.
Now, last week, they did some check. They checked 270 of them. They found 7 skimmers.
Yeah.
And so, on the other end, there's somebody taking the data, stealing her count,
yep,
and then stealing all the data from it.
And there are foreign groups that roam the country doing this from other countries.
What irritates the hell out of me is why can't they immediately help her out at the welfare office there?
Well, part of the problem I'm reading here is they have not done chip-enabled EBT cards. So that's one way to secure it, is to put chips, like your credit cards and your debit cards, all come with chips now, so
they
that
do.
They can't just be cloned and swiped anywhere.
Okay, maybe so, but
they
someone at
that.
The welfare department needs to hook her up, for God's sakes.
Wow.
Jesus. Steve, go ahead.
Hey, Marty. Hey, I'm with you, buddy. Why couldn't they give that poor lady immediate relief?
Right.
And, you know, give her a break. I mean, obviously it's the state's fault. We're so antiquated with all of our electronic stuff. You know, it's ridiculous. And, you know, I was on Niagara on the Lake in Canada several years ago,
man.
And I don't even think they swipe and stuff. It's all tap now for security reasons.
No, everything I have
is poor lady suffering.
Tap. I mean, sometimes if it doesn't work, but these old...
Yeah, that poor lady suffering.
Oh, my God. She has just got out of the hospital with brain surgery.
See, I know.
All right, I got to get to... This just happened, so my wheels are turning like Patrick's, or I got to get to the state welfare department and get this addressed and then help her out. Go ahead, Claire. Go ahead.
Hi, Marty. Personal experience happened to me. First of all, the welfare department will do nothing about it. They did up to the end of last year reimburse.
Oh.
As of this year, they do not. What happened to me, all my money's gone.
Oh.
The whole amount, like a few hundred some dollars, was used by Brooklyn Butchers in Brooklyn, New York.
Wow.
The whole amount, okay. So you can lock it now. If you have a smartphone, you can go unlock your card, which is the only way to do it. I've had no issues since then. But it's so easy. Mine either happened at Walmart or Giant Eagle, McKeesport or Walmart, North for Sales, one of them. They claim they don't have scammers. If they check, they showed me different things. But what they do, they walk around. I have my credit card scammed, a Gateway Grill, a card on the table using to pay for some food. And they walk around with these electronic devices, and they're able to scam the card number. Immediately, my card was used at Costco,
wow,
Monroeville, which I don't even have an account.
Wow.
So there's a card blocking card you can get at Amazon for a few bucks. Put it in your wallet. Supposedly block all your cards, but put it next to your most sensitive, like your EBT card or your credit card.
Well, hold on. Why won't the state reimburse her? It's not her fault.
They will not. They said they just can't do it anymore, but they need to have an EBT in there. And I've heard several other people talk. It's happened to them, and it's devastating. And this poor lady, my heart goes out to her. But it's happening again and again. And, Marty, you will get calls. Somehow they find out your phone number. You will get calls saying, hi, this is the state of Pennsylvania. Your EBT card has been blocked. Please call this number to unblock it. It's not the Pennsylvania State Department at all you're calling. You're calling your focus number. As soon as you give them that card, any information, they're able to get all the information on you and God only knows what. And they do that several times a week. You'll get these pseudo numbers calling, and it's not State Department of Pennsylvania.
Wow.
It's not.
How much did you lose, young lady? How much?
almost $300 at one time. And it was done like the first of the month they got the card. And again, you can block it. It's easy to do, but you have to have a smartphone, lock, unlock, lock everywhere, lock in Pennsylvania. It does work, but there's people walking around with these scammers in the stores, and they're passing you. You don't even realize they're bumping into you in line, and they're scanning your card, and they're getting all the information. This is happening all the time.
What I really feel bad about is she's saying she's in the office with 10 other people that it happened to today. We got to fix this. I'm going to text the Attorney General on the break and see if they can somehow intervene. This is ridiculous.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
I don't know how we get this crazy government thing, but Patrick did some research, and we're not 100% sure this is what happened, but you're saying Congress was reimbursing this and now isn't?
Yeah, Congress was reimbursing for stolen SNAP benefits, but that ended. There was a deadline for that at the end of 2024, and Congress did not extend it beyond that. They let it fall.
Why? We don't know.
No.
And you can't blame her.
No, it's ridiculous that we're not replacing stolen funds to help people out.
And I've got calls in, actually texting the Attorney General in the Attorney General's office. Also texting a couple of congressmen and McCormick's people. Because this just got dropped in our lap, so we don't know what happened, but that's absurd. And that sweet woman was saying, when she sent me the original note, she said there are 10 people at least sitting in the office, in the welfare office in McKeesport, that this happened to. So, Patrick, and I don't know this technology yet. Are you saying, like, I have cards that are chipped now. They can't get skimmed?
They can still, but they're less likely.
Okay.
So if someone's walking around with their, handheld devices, you tap to pay, it's essentially like tap to pay. So if they've got a device that can read that information, they can steal your card info just by walking by you. So it is possible to do that. But for the machines that you can't tap and pay that require you to put the card with the chip in, you can't just clone those on the magnetic stripe. You've got to you've got to have the chip. The chip is the security feature.
Why wouldn't the people that own these stores, wouldn't they see this skimmer on the...
Not necessarily.
I don't even know what they look like.
They put them over the machines, and they look just like the credit card machines that you swipe every day.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah. That's why it is really hard to tell. They'll even put them over ATMs where it looks just like the ATM, except you don't see the tape typically, the security.
We've had people ripped off.
Yeah.
And I swear the state and the banking system did a survey last week, and I think they scanned like 400 different outlets, and they found a couple of skimmers.
Yep.
So it's not as if they don't exist.
No, it does happen all the time, but I had no idea that the federal government wasn't helping with reimbursements anymore.
I got to find
out. That's awful.
And I'm texting, honestly, with the Attorney General's office. I want to know if they have a criminal investigation going. In the meantime, have they had any advice for people? And I can't imagine we can just say to consumers, screw you. There has to be a better way than just screw you, ma'am. That poor woman. If anything, we'll get cash out to her. As fate would have it, this wonderful couple gave me an envelope of cash. I will drive it to that woman if we can't fix this skimming thing today. That poor thing can't buy food for her kids, and no one should be in that position, especially now with food costs insanely, insanely high.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
My daughters are both home. As I get to my guest here, which I have to because it's important stuff. And my son's at home. They're all teenagers. One of them, and none of them will admit it, left the roll empty. You know, the toilet paper roll empty. So the next person who sits down on the toilet, have you had this happen, Trevin, in your house? He's laughing.
No.
I know you have.
Not at all.
You're denying it because you're afraid of your wife. He's afraid of her, isn't he, Patrick? You can tell. Like, you are afraid of yours.
Oh, I completely understand it.
I ain't afraid of my wife. I'll take her on. They left the toilet paper roll empty. Now, as a parent, first of all, I lined them all up and none of them would admit it. So what happens is you go into the bathroom at night and you have to poop. You sit down, you don't pay attention to the, and then you don't have toilet paper, and then you start dropping F-bombs. Because you got to walk somewhere, right, Trevin, to get a new roll?
I told you, it doesn't happen in my house.
And there'd be stuff kind of hanging, you know what I'm saying? You need to
doesn't clean. Happen in my house.
Yeah. You hear this, Patrick? And
I have a teenage son at home. It happens in my house.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's irritating as hell, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Especially right. When you hear someone scream from, you know, the next floor.
Oh.
You hear your wife go on, "Who did it?"
Before I get to my guests, and I have to get him because this is important, but here's the question. Do you replace the roll of toilet paper or do you let them suffer? Because I wasn't using that toilet in that bathroom. As a lesson learner, do you replace the roll of toilet? This is a big question here today. The whole world's at war. Do you replace the roll of toilet paper or do you let them suffer? Do you replace it or let them suffer? 866 Steve Mazza. Oh, Mazza does it. You know Mazza's the type. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Do you replace the roll or let them suffer? 866. Patrick actually has a picture on the live stream. 866-391-1020. I'm serious. Do you replace the roll or let them suffer? 866-391-1020. my wife, because she's a better person, would replace the role. She can't help herself. She's too kind. 866-391-1020. Do you replace the role or let them suffer? Meantime, I'll get to my guest, Joseph Patrick Murphy. Good afternoon, sir. How are you? Joseph.
We're here.
You there?
I would let them suffer. I would let
Wouldn't
them
you?
Suffer.
Same, same.
Yes.
Hell with them.
Yes.
They got to learn, right?
That's the only way. I mean, this is the big lesson of a lot of the things I learned in college that I forgot. But one of them is always check the toilet paper roll first, because that's something college-age kids seem to forget a lot.
It's irritating as hell, isn't it?
And like you said, potentially humiliating in various ways, yeah.
My daughter, Sophia, took my laundry out of the dryer, which I had washed, and piled it on top of the dryer, and it fell on the floor so she could make room for her crap in the dryer, Joseph Patrick Murphy.
That's what happens. It's kids. It's maturity, working together, cooperation. All those things are important lessons that we learn as we grow.
And then and
sometimes it's because you value cooperation, and sometimes it's because people punish you in various ways
right
when
on.
You're inconsiderate or uncooperative.
Right on. And one more thing. Chloe's car got towed.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you pay for that, Joseph Patrick Murphy, or do you let them pay?
That's a good one, because if you don't pay, they may be storage fees. It might get bigger.
Yep.
So how do you do that? How do you pay it? You take it out of their allowance? I don't know. Something like that.
All right. Let's get to something important.
Yes.
You did a hell of a thing. We had them both on the air. Ian and your client, who is?
Luis.
By the way, he actually did a brief interview. He speaks kind of broken English, but he was grateful.
Yep.
And he was happy.
Yep.
And he wants to be a citizen, and he loves his country, and he did it the right way.
He does. Yep. And that's what we've been telling you all along, and we've been pleading his case to judges, to senators, to politicians, to other media sources. This is, as they say, one worth saving, and he really is. Hard worker, has his own business, has a kid, just had a baby. Ian and I spent many, many long hours working with judges and prosecutors. We even both drove up to immigration detention to get him out.
This week, and, Friday night, right?
Yep, Friday night, Ian and I drove. We took separate cars because I live in the North Hills and those guys live in, I guess, Carnegie. So, I would have to drive extra. So I took my own car. But we got up there and waited a little bit in the parking lot. It was rainy. And there's this gigantic courtyard covered with miles of razor wire and double chain link fences and searchlights, the typical prison stuff. And there's a courtyard out there. And I was looking at my phone. Ian honked the horn. I looked over. He says, "There he is." And Luis was making the long walk, and he's kind of a slight fellow. A lot of Ecuadorians are shorter, really about the size of like my 15-year-old son. It really brings home the case of how young this dude really is. And there he is making that long walk out to freedom. It was pretty cool. Pretty cool to get him out of there.
So what happens now? This is what they weren't able to answer for me.
Yeah. So he's got a deportation. The sad part is that during this process, they dirtied him up pretty good. They stuck him with a deportation order.
Oh.
We appealed that, which means it's not final. But that deportation case will go on in spite of the fact that we've obtained his release. It's much like when you pay bail, you get a criminal charge and somebody bails you out. Well, the case will go forward. Bail just is about where you're going to be while the case goes forward. When you talk about immigration, and particularly now, where you are while the case gets decided, in many cases, determines how fast it goes. Right, they've got all these people they're arresting under all these new laws and holding them in jail forever, and they want to move those cases faster because it costs them money to hold people, a lot of money. So all the resources are being dedicated to what they call the detained docket, and they might as well, because every piece of paper has to be marked detained in capital letters. They could just as easily have every piece of paper marked "this is costing us money" in capital letters, because it is. And so the detained docket moves very, very quickly. And that's why they couldn't wait the 49 days. They don't give continuances because they got to move this product.
Hold on, though.
Now that we get him.
Yeah. I thought he gets the visa in 49 days. What the hell's going on?
Well, it's not it's so there's something called the Visa Bulletin. It comes out every month. All right. We're on the May Visa Bulletin now. Probably in a week or two, we'll be in the June Visa Bulletin. And it has published dates in it, right? So it says you have to have, you have to have filed on or before this date. Your application has to have been approved on or before this date. If it is on or before this date, then you can apply for a green card. If it is not, then you have to wait. The difference between these two dates right now for Luis is 49 days, but you don't get one day on the visa bulletin for every day that goes by in the world. There'd be no need to publish the bulletin, right? So, for example, from April to May, it didn't move at all. It was the exact same date on both of those days. And sometimes it can do what's called retrogression. It can go the other way. You can get further away. And that's what the government's position was about those 49 days. They says, you don't know if that's 49 days or 100. Wow. We can't hold people indefinitely with no clear end in sight. So they wanted to deport him and throw him out of the country. Luckily, we were able to get a federal judge to order them to give him a bond hearing. The judge set bond at 15, and now he's out. Now, this is a much slower moving process. His deportation and the appeal of that deportation is going to take up an enormous amount of time. And the gamble here, and I think it's a fairly reasonable gamble, because I believe that unless something unusual happens, his number's going to come up maybe in late summer, July, August, somewhere in there. And I don't believe they'll be able to get back to his case before then. It'll take him too long to pay attention to him. And what I suspect will happen is his number will come up and we'll remand it back to immigration court. Now he does have a number and we could have the judge adjudicate his green card application, bang a hammer and give him a green card.
But what a pain in the ass.
It is. It's because the system's got a lot of unusual pressures on it, not only from the change of administrations, change of mood in the country, because it's a highly political business, but also because our immigration system is very tiny. It's not designed. When you look around at like immigration resources, there aren't many. I mean, Pittsburgh's been an immigrant magnet for hundreds of years. We don't even have our own local immigration court. They took that away from us a couple of years ago. The two law schools we've got, Pitt and Duquesne, last time I looked at course selection guide, Pitt had one single two-credit course.
Whoa.
Duquesne, the Catholic law school I went to, has none in the course catalog. So, you know, this means that it's not on the bar exam. So the lawyers we have are not taught or tested about immigration. And here we are in the middle of this giant, you know.
Wow.
Something show, right? mess of a show that we have here going on, and we don't have the resources. I was listening to oral argument at one point this morning in a break. They're arguing about these detention laws up in the Third Circuit Court of Appeals, and that was very interesting to me. But also interesting to me was how these guys are federal judges, are very sharp people, men and women, politically savvy and all this, but how confusing immigration law is to regular lawyers, even regular lawyers that are as arguably elite as those judges are. The lawyers who are arguing this case we're having to do, not only argue, but give a small tutorial on the law of bail bond and alien detainee classification. So it's pretty neat. Yeah.
Wow. So we
Did Ian tell you the way he brought Luis home to his wife?
No.
He stopped about a mile and a half from the house and put Luis in the trunk.
No.
The wife didn't know she was getting her husband back. And he goes over to the house because, you know, he's been taking care of her.
Oh, yeah.
And he calls her up. He says, hey, I picked up something for you after work on Friday. Why don't you come out to the car and help me get it out?
No.
Yeah. And she came out and he opened the trunk and her husband was in there. That's what he picked up for her after work. So that was kind of a nice thing, too.
My brother, thanks. Yeah. You're the best there is.
Thanks, Marty.
My man. There you go. And so it goes. The dilemma is that you have to have time and money. And Luis says he has a roofing company and he's dumping all of his money into trying to stay in America. He has the best lawyer there is, but it's fascinating to watch. So it's a confusing system, as he just said. So even though on paper it says he gets his visa in 45 days, it's not true. He might not get another hearing until late in the summer. How about that? So I'm guessing he'll be out working in the meantime. And we'll stay on top of it, follow it for you. Regarding the two issues that were kind of humorous. Issue number one. So I find the toilet paper empty in one of the bathrooms on the second floor. And at various times, the kids could all use that bathroom. Vince, Chloe, and or Sophia. And at various times, all three of them have been suspects in this crime. Because of a couple things. Because they're goofy at that age. They're always in a hurry. But my man James, so I posted this on social. In Patrick's house, what do? You let him rot? You can't.
So we do weigh it. My kid has one bathroom that he typically uses.
Yeah.
And he never replaces the roll.
Ever?
Almost never.
Well, see, I would punish that. Come on, man.
Well, and the dilemma is, do you replace it for him or not?
No.
If you don't, what's the alternative? He's better now at this age, but
no, you're 2 years ago? Him. He's 18. He's a grown-ass man. He could go and fight a war for his country right now.
Correct.
Yeah.
But is he going to use a hand towel?
What?
If there's no toilet paper.
That's a whole other issue.
If there's no toilet paper, what are you going to use?
He's not going to use a hand towel in my house. Maybe in yours, man.
If he is, he better wash it.
He's going to get his ass up and get a roll of toilet paper.
Which is in the basement, not anywhere close to his bathroom.
And they better not use a hand towel in my house. Trevor, what do you use when Kiki forgets? Look at him, Patrick. Look at him squirming.
I'm not squirming. I'm not in this conversation.
I had all three of my kids at the table last night. And I, Paulie, he'll know. He'll give me a reasonable adult-like answer. So, Paulie, Patrick's kind of woke sometimes, and he's a Trumper. You know what the hell he is. Some days he's a Trumper. Today he's woke, and I'm going to tell you why. His son never, he just said it, never replaces the toilet roll. He leaves it empty. Paulie, what are you going to do if that happens and your son does that in your house?
Well, he wouldn't do that. He would never do that. Plus, don't you have replacement rolls right there next to the toilet?
No, he doesn't. He said it's downstairs, which is kind of...
We actually have a really cool, it's like a, I don't know, like a cylinder that you can have three or four rolls right next to, and it's actually very decorative, looks really cool.
Wow.
So if you don't leave, if you take the last bit of toilet paper and you don't replace it, you're just a piece of you-know-what.
That's what
then
I'm
you
saying.
Should be flushed down with it.
That's what I'm saying.
You should be flushed right down with it.
How about Patrick said he could use a hand towel? I'll tell you what, go there in my house.
If you don't replace it and someone else sits down, you got to do something.
You can't use a hand towel?
You going to use your hand?
No.
No.
I'm going to walk my
you-know-what
over to the damn...
You got to do a little waddle over.
That's what I'm saying.
You're going to dance down to the basement for
a
replacement?
Yes, I am. Well, before I use a hand towel.
Every step down those stairs.
What kind of household doesn't have spare rolls right there?
That's
you have to
I'm
have
saying.
Them right there.
Why would you keep them a mile away?
Don't you have like a little cabinet under the sink or something for some
extra
rolls?
But those things don't always get replaced they should be.
Especially
by 18-year-old kids.
He's full of crap.
Yeah. That 18-year-old kid should be on his own.
That's what I'm saying. It's about damn. Thank
Get
you.
Out.
And this is why he calls him his kid.
Get
so
out.
He ain't
stay
no, he
out.
He could serve in the U.S. military.
Correct.
Could he not?
You know what else he could do?
What?
He could own and operate a bar, but you know what he couldn't do? Drinking it.
Well, he shouldn't be drinking, but that's a whole other topic.
How about that
kid.
For our state laws? Own and operate, can't drink.
topic number 400 with his kid. I told him, you're on your own, man. But guess what my wife did, Trevin? What do you think she did?
She replaced the
role. She replaced the role, Patrick. What would you think Christine would do?
That sounds right.
She replaced the role.
My mother would have put a note on the empty role.
These are the massively important, controversial issues that we cover on this show. It's amazing.
The show is going to the toilet.
Speak, I can't hear you.
The show has gone to the toilet.
It literally. Has. Literally.
Literally.
Peace. Colin's next.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.